Freud's Angels. Here is your reading for the week. Remember, never give your power up to a reading, a reader, or any situation. Remember, you always have the power of autonomy. Enjoy.
Hey, angels. Welcome to your weekly reading. We are reading for Sunday, April 28th through Saturday, May 4th. We're back. Thank you for giving us the space of the pause. Obviously, you can still hear I'm not feeling well. It's just whatever it is right now.
Yeah.
We're just rolling with it. But yeah, I wanted to come back. You know, I miss these times, but I also sometimes need rest. And so I was like, okay, rest over socialization. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Vanessa, what are the mermaids roasting us with today?
Well, the mermaids are indeed roasting us. It's like the theme of every one of these where we're like, let's do our collective reading for everyone. And it's like, okay, but we can't make ourselves be out of the collective when we see these cards sometimes, right? Like, it's not a gift that we're given just to the collective. It's a gift being given to us as well. So I pulled the trust card from the mermaid deck. And I laughed immediately. You know, you guys aren't privy to the pregame. But in the pregame, we talked a lot about our untrusting selves and how to find things that make us trust. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was just, but we didn't, not once did we utter that word. Not once. But that was the entire concept that we were dancing around, tiptoeing around. You know, it's a trust is like a big deal. We talk about it. We use that word. We tossed around with big feelings about it, right? Like, oh, I can't trust you. Or I need to trust you. I need to trust that. Like, we just love that word. That word feels so solid and so secure. But what does it really mean? Right? Like, a lot of times when we say trust, we're talking about other people having power over us and that we need them to be trustworthy. But really, we need to be trustworthy to ourselves and trust ourselves. I know. And it's funny because I'm like, I say this to my clients all the time, right? Like, and I try to say it to myself, but sometimes it has to come out differently. Yeah. You know, of just kind of like, you know, you got to know that everything's going to be okay, even if it doesn't feel okay, because you can trust in yourself that you will do what needs to be done to correct if there needs to be correct, to bask if it's time to bask. And the only way that we can do that is to, like, understand the difference between our head and our heart. Like Grace says all the time, you know, like, we have to know when we're leading from the control space, which is our control command center in our brain, lots of times firing on fear, lots of times firing on information that we just don't have enough of. And that our heart and our soul, gosh, it's so trusting. You know, like, I've been listening to Wayne Dyer again, my man. Like, just, he comes back around a couple times a year, calls out to me, I have to listen. And, you know, one of the stories that I used to love that he would tell is about how, like, when we are conceived, we just exist. We just exist. Our bodies grow inside, you know, inside the other body. We come out, we breathe, we just know that things are coming, that food's coming, you know what I mean? Like, we just are the inherently trusting. And then at some point we decide, I got this from here. Right. And how, like, when he tells the story, it's kind of like, yeah, it's a little weird. You know what I mean? Like, it is a little weird that we do that, that we're like, oh yeah, there's so much nature. And then we decide we've got it from here, nature. Like, this, okay. Like, how does, it doesn't actually make sense, but we do it all the time. Right. Yeah. And so I think that, you know, this mermaid's coming here to just be like, all right, how much are you trying to direct things that don't need to be directed? How much do you need to just hang out? Know that you can trust the information is coming, or the thing is coming, or the inspiration is coming. Because if you are open to that and trusting it, you'll receive it. If you don't believe it, you've created a wall in between. that now has to get through in order to get to you. So I do think of it that way and need to think of it that way with the stuff I'm going on personally right now, just being like, okay, so be open. Understand that you don't know everything and that's fine. You've got to open the wall. Take the fear away. Take the what you already know away, because it's obviously not enough. You need more. Let that and more come in, whatever that is. Trust that you're going to get what it is that you need and let it happen. Don't interfere with that process. So yeah, that's what the mermaids have to say. And I know you got some in your pocket over there. Also. Yeah.
So, you know, the gateway cards decided that they wanted to be used today because they spoke to me and they said, because, you know, we're in a gateway right now. We just got out of retrograde. We're still in post shadow, but we're out of the heart of the retrograde. Thank the baby Jesus, because can I just tell you, I don't know what happened the whole month of April. It felt like I was given a 1-2 punch nearly every day. Like it was just a lot. And then I got sick. So, you know, it was like it's parting gift, but it's, you know, it was just a lot to hold and a lot to handle, but we are kind of in that gateway, right? We had the eclipse. We had this beautiful Jupiter and Uranus conjunction or whatever it was. And now we ended Mercury retrograde with a Scorpio full moon. I mean, like, we really were set up astrologically to move forward. And so the gateway cards came and was like, yeah, use us, because we're all in gateways, right? And talking about trust and talking about what Vanessa was saying and kind of going on the point of continuing on is that the card that came up for the gateway card was stepping into stillness. And what it says on the card, my power is born in the majesty of silence. And I really want to read what the book says about this, because I think you'll understand why after I read it. So it says, take a moment to enter into silent, deep place within you. Be still, let everything go, and focus on what is truly important. Imagine spiraling down into the source of your essence. Breathe deeply, allow your body to relax, and the present moment be the here and now. Deep within you is an inner sanctuary. Having this inner peace, however, doesn't mean that there isn't chaos or disharmony around you. It means that no matter what is occurring in your life, you can observe from a place of stillness. Surrender, here we go, couldn't escape that word, to the sweet energy of quietude. Avoid the temptation to embrace the drama and urgency of life. Affirm that you have all the time you need. Power is born in stillness, and your potential is dramatically expanding into the majesty of silence. So some questions they give you: what do I need to stop or surrender in my life? How can I enter into my stillness, inner stillness? As I become still, what will expand in my life? What will contract?
I love how the surrender cards just were like, we're in here too, whether you like it or not.
Totally, 100%. I mean, it's like, yeah, we're gonna show up regardless of whether you want to use us or not. So what it's saying, you know, part of, like Vanessa said, our pregame was a lot about stepping into understanding the difference between our mind and our heart. And we can't do that on the fly. I mean, we can if we have practice at it, but I really think we intentionally have to stop sometimes and enter in that space. In the hollow bone journey, when what I teach and what I practice, there is a time where we enter into that sacred space of our heart. That is our sacred space, right? That is the space that we hold the answers. We that has all the information, our connection to spirit, our connection to our heart, our higher self, our soul. It is like the hub of who we are. So all of us has a sacred space within us, but it's giving yourself the time and the stillness to access it. And if it wasn't for, I think sometimes if it wasn't for teaching these classes and facilitating, because I'm not teaching, I'm just facilitating, but in showing people how to access that part of themselves, if, you know, without this, I think I would be off in the ether somewhere, because I don't often create a practice in it. And I think you know, that's partly why I feel that I'm being pushed to teach more and more, is because it's like, because you need it and you're not great at doing, being intentional about it. But we don't realize, we seek outward for our answers. We seek outward for information. It's not wrong to ask spirit for help, for guidance, the person to cross our path to give us information. That's super important. But ultimately, it has to vibe with us, right? It has to feel right in our heart. And when we resist what spirit is telling us, that's because we're in our heads. And so sometimes we have to really go into our hearts to get a bigger picture, to be able to observe what's happening from a heart intelligence versus trauma brain survival, in order to understand what our next steps are. What are we moving towards after this retrograde? What are we being asked to do? I think all of us are being asked to do things that are vastly different from what we're doing. I ran across a saying this morning or last night that said, if you want change, change has to happen. Meaning, if you want things to be different in your life, you can't live your life the same way you've been living it.
We're not doing it.
Right, exactly. Because we feel comfort in our survivals, right? We feel comfort in knowing what will happen, the prediction that our brain does to sabotage, to make sure we understand and we know what's going to happen. It's survival, it's trauma. It's the effects of any type of wounding or whatever we've experienced that has not been for our greater good. So, you know, when we get into those spaces, I really just think, if you're finding resistance in what you're being called to do, then ask yourself, is my brain trying to talk me out of it because it's afraid? Or is it because it doesn't feel right? Like, not brain feel right, but feel right in a sense of, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I see how that's aligning. I just had a conversation with my human design analyst, and we were discovering some things about my human design. And I was asking, and for a long time, I resisted. There was a voice in me that wanted something, and it kept saying it. But the brain was like, no, you're wrong. We need this. Not that. Not that. I had a reading with my human design analyst. Come to find out, what that little voice was trying to say to me, and it wanted, was it very much in alignment with me, with who I am, and what I need to thrive as me, as a person. But my brain, that's unsafe to my brain, so it wants to shut it down. So yeah, it's hard to sometimes discern, is this my trauma masquerading as my heart, or is this actually my heart? But one of the things I encourage you to do, and I'll try to say this without coughing, but there is a vast difference when you're on the path and you know it's right and your brain telling you it's right. There's a feeling that you get when you're in flow that's more heart, in your heart area. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you're living in your heart and your heart is exuding its energy. Mm-hmm. When you're excited up in your head area, when you feel the excitement coming from your brain, it's not to say that it's wrong, but sometimes that's your brain excitement and not really connected to your heart.
Yeah.
So really be observant of when you feel like you've got the answer and you're moving along the path, what part of your body does it feel right in? Does it feel right in your heart, or does it feel right in your head? And really kind of take the time to go into stillness and really observe and be with yourself. Now, it doesn't mean that if you make decisions based on your trauma in your head that it's wrong. There's no wrong or right decisions. It's just using what you have and making the decision. That's it. Yeah. Maybe some of the decisions in my life didn't lead me down the path that I wanted, but it led me down a different path. And I'm okay with it because I'm here. Yeah. So don't think that your next decision is going to be wrong. It's just, understand when we can get into stillness and we can get into that space of learning how to trust ourselves and trust our heart, we kind of get connected to more and more what feels more true to us and not based on just living in the energy of the trauma that we've experienced in whatever way that is.
Yeah. And it does feel different. I mean, I can think of a few times in my life where, you know, you're just flowing and you feel it and you're just like, oh, my heart is bursting, and you feel like your heart is bursting. And then there are times where you're like, oh my God, everything's so exciting. And you can tell that it's just kind of like a string of maybe accomplishments that are happening, or, you know, like grad school, for instance, that was not my heart. That was definitely my head that was very excited about finishing. Right. You know what I mean? But it felt like, it was like, oh my God, I'm so happy. Like, you're relieved. That's what you are, but that's your head, you know, and your heart that wasn't there present on that day, you know, but you can feel the difference. So yeah, we need to trust in our stillness, y'all. And I don't like it either. So just know that I have a little angst about it too. I'll be laying on my Shakti mat because I feel like a little bit of pain helps me get out of that, get out of the ornery stage of it.
Well, you know, in order to survive, stillness is not safe. Like, we constantly have this thought, belief, or idea or inclination to always be moving, always be moving. And it doesn't serve us because it doesn't give us time for all parts of us to catch up to where we're at. And if you feel like, if you don't feel you're safe to be still, take 10 seconds to be still and breathe. It doesn't have to be 20 minutes or an hour. Sometimes it's just a minute when you sit down to eat, or when you sit at your desk if you work from home, to just close your eyes for 1 minute or 10 seconds or 20 seconds and just connect with yourself and say, I'm here and I'm with myself. Bring yourself back to the present. One of the things, and this is the last thing I'll share before we move on because we have a podcast to record, but one of the things that I used to do when I wasn't able to sit in stillness was Ram Dass had used to talk about this thing where he would ask himself, where am I? And he said, I would answer now. What time is it? Now, like, you know, where am I here? What time is it now? That I used to say that to myself all the time to bring my energy back to the present, even if I couldn't sit in stillness, right? I found these little micro ways to help me combat the idea that my trauma mind would not let me stop, but knowing that I needed to be present, because it's not always possible. People say, be present in your life. There's a lot of times it's not possible for us to be present because of where we're at, our safety, how we're feeling, where we're at in our journey. There's many reasons why we don't feel safe enough to be still, and then why it's challenging, and why some people stop walking this path because they feel like they can't, if they can't be present, they can't master that basically simple thing, then what the hell? What, then it's not for me. It's not that it's not for you. It's not that you're failing or doing it wrong or unable to do it or broken. It's just because there's things within you that don't think that that's safe for you to do. And that's perfectly fine. Yes, we want to be alleviated from that, but you have to start somewhere. And sometimes those micro ways to be present, like, you know, like just saying that, you know, where am I here? What time is it now? I can even just saying that makes me feel like, oh, I'm calling all of my energy back to this moment. Mm-hmm. And I said it when I was working, when I was walking, when I was driving, I would just say it like when I felt disconnected from myself, and it would just bring me back. So start so small. You don't have to be the meditating guru. If you are, my hat's off to you, because I am not. I struggle with maintaining some sort of like meditative practice. And I am in the industry of all that. So like, I struggle with it. So I know that there are people out there that are not even, that are super struggling with it. But yeah. So find the little ways you can find to be present with yourself. Mm-hmm. And then build off that. And learn that those things that you are in those moments with, trust them. Trust them when your heart is speaking, because you have the answers, I promise. It's just navigating through the static.
Yeah. I mean, we usually find out later. So
yeah,
well, sure. We're really just trying to be like, or you can listen now.
Yes. Well, my friends, I hope that you have a beautiful week ahead. Please, 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 we're entering May. Holy Christmas, it's May already. Like, you know, really kind of be in the intention of wanting to hear your heart. That's enough sometimes. And listen, Wednesday to our podcast. We are going to talk about miracles and miraculous healing. I think it's a good podcast. It's a good topic. So join us on Wednesday. We'll talk to you then.
Awesome. Love y'all.
Thanks for listening. Remember, catch our podcast every Wednesdays on your favorite podcast station. Take care and have a great week.